Our service is a little different today in that I'm not going to preach a formal sermon. Now, some of you can say amen right now, right? Okay. Now, you're not sure quite what you're facing, so you may be a little premature, David, but we'll let that pass. All right. For the past number of weeks, I've been announcing that today's service, we would have opportunity to hear also from the congregation. And in a sense, even though, yeah, I realize New Year's now is a few days ago, but in many ways, this is kind of like a New Year's service. So there will be opportunity to reflect back, and I do want you to be thinking back on 2018. And then towards the end of the service, we'll have a chance to think ahead a little bit about, you know, some things. And when I kind of begin, as I'm thinking of our theme, Psalm 103 is how I want to start. So you'll see it on the screen. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." And notice this one, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And it goes on, it talks about forgiveness, it talks about healing. And the psalmist is looking at that. Now, we recognize that it's not everyone is healed now, and not everything. Forgiveness, though, is absolutely and fully available right now through Christ. But we look to the day when there one day will be no more weeping and sorrow and disease and all of these kinds of things. But not forgetting his benefits is what I want us to be thinking about. In other words, bringing to memory what God has done in our lives. Now, in a few moments, you'll have an opportunity, and here are just some prompters, so you can be thinking about this. How did you experience God's benefits in 2018? Here's another one. What were some challenges, maybe, that you faced? And how did God enable you to overcome them? How about this? Was there a scripture or maybe a reading? Maybe it was something that someone said to you. Maybe it was a sermon. Maybe it was in a Sunday school class. But something that really touched your heart and that you'd like to share with us. Now, you might want to share a verse of a hymn or something like that. We unfortunately can't make it wide open to any worship song because we likely want to have music and and words and all of that. But we'll focus more on the hymn. So if there happens to be a song that really has touched your heart, we might even sing a verse or two of that, okay? Just the hymnals are in front of you. You can choose one and just call out a number, and we'll make that available to you. I like to call this, I sometimes refer to it as excerpts from our journal. Now, many of us don't write journals or diaries. I do. I don't write every day, but I have kept a journal of some kind for probably 40 years. I have volumes of journals. And at the end of every year, I like to go back and I reflect and I review some of these things. And what I find is that writing some of these things down and going back, it helps me to identify and sometimes to track the movement of God in my life. And sometimes it comes in all kinds of different ways. Often it's more just the kind of readings that I might do early in the morning and so on. But when I speak of our journal, what I'm referring to is the fact that it's not about me, but really what is God doing in our community. And so you'll hear not only some of my thoughts, but hopefully you'll get to hear a little bit from each other. So I'm going to go through a number of things, and I'm going to go quite quickly through some of them. Some of them I'll summarize, and some I might develop a little bit. On January the 8th last year, here's what I wrote. One of the things, I mean, this was just an excerpt. I continue to pray for God to provide new people for our church. There was some encouragement. We had a new family visit yesterday, recently moved from Edmonton. My longing for our church is that we would experience significant growth. Now, looking back, I wouldn't say that we had volumes of people, but in 2018, we did have a number of people. And in fact, I don't want to embarrass you, but I am going to ask, and I don't normally do this, but if you either started attending Trinity, let's say sometime in 2018, or you maybe in some cases, we even had some resume attending who came back to Calgary from other places. But if in 2018 you started attending Trinity, I'm going to ask if you would just stand for a sec. In 2018, if you are relatively new, so go ahead. And here we've got right in the front, and we're over here in the front, and in the back, and we've got the stewards that resumed attending. Why don't we just congratulate them and welcome them back? Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it. carotid knee in the Travers family, Andrew and Sherry and Alejandro and Marie Jose and Bertinelle. And there are others that, in fact, I see some back here who even in the last couple of weeks, God has blessed us with some who have been starting to attend here. Family transitions were huge. I'm not going to comment about our daughter so much moving from Vietnam to just outside of London with David and our four grandsons. But probably the biggest transition were our senior parents. Oh boy, am I emotional today for a variety of reasons. Titus got me started. But transitions were huge. And there were all kinds of things. If you have seen your parents or if you've been through that, you kind of understand. There was one particular time, and some of you can relate to this, in all kinds of areas. My dad, he was vacillating, moving from Abbotsford to here. He was going to move, and then he said, I'm not coming. We didn't know if he would come until he was on the plane. There was one time I was so frustrated. He said, I'm not coming. I'm moving back to my house from convalescence care after an auto accident. And this is what I wrote. This is a bad idea. After my talk with Dad, I felt so upset. I came home, put my earplugs in, covered myself in a blanket, and prayed and napped, mostly napped. But later on, this is in June, I wrote, you know, I enjoyed having Dad over yesterday. I can't get over the difference in our relationship. He's more pleasant, more appreciative. I'm actually starting to enjoy his company. Didn't expect this could happen at such a late stage in life. But then in October, you know, it was interesting, the changes, the cognitive changes that happened as people get older. Billy Graham passed away, and I was talking to my dad about Billy Graham, and he mentioned he had watched a Billy Graham sermon, and this was in October. And as we talked about it, we talked about his death, and he said, oh yeah, he died about what, 4 years ago, didn't he? And you realize that things change because, of course, Billy Graham died last year. Several of my entries deal with grief and loss. And this was a year that was, for many, right, a time of grief and loss. You lost your dear wife. The loss of Larry, the loss of Peter. You know, there were many that passed away and so on. And so many of my comments kind of related to that. But in April, I commented about one in particular. You know, on Friday afternoon, the humble Broncos bus collided, killing 15. This tragedy has gripped the nation, raises all kinds of questions. But one of the things that was astonishing was how, in the midst of the tragedy, all across our country, there were people who were listening in and watching a vigil in Humboldt, Saskatchewan. And I recognized whether it was in the funerals that I had the privilege of participating in, or whether it was in national or in some cases across the United States, the number of deaths that happened, presidents and so on, and all these different things. You look back and you realize that God has his way of getting and communicating. There was a young man who took his life on Thursday, May the 3rd. I wrote this. On Sunday, I heard a young man took his life. What is it that is causing so many young adults to commit suicide? And what can we do about it? I wrote on October 13, thank you, Lord, for this amazing week. The two memorial services provided amazing opportunities to preach the gospel. In January, I wrote and copied from a devotional that I read called The Bible in 1 Year, Nicky Gumbel's comment. He says, a one-year-old boy shattered his back falling down a flight of stairs. He spent his childhood and youth in and out of hospital. He was interviewed and he remarked, God is fair. And the interviewer said, how old are you? He said, 17. The boy replied, how many years have you been in hospital? The boy answered, 13. Do you think that is fair? And the boy replied, God has got all of eternity to make it up to me. I wrote a lot about Easter in the theme of hope and resurrection. I was pretty stressed out as I prepared to do dramatic monologues for Good Friday, and that was a very challenging time for me. But prior to that, back in February, this is what I jotted, I was reading from Matthew 27, and it's the account of Remember Pilate doing his best to secure the tomb of Jesus. And there's a phrase in verse 65 where Pilate says this. He says, take a guard, go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. And they went and they made it secure and so on. These were people who were opponents of Christ. And then I jotted these words. People try to secure the tomb through atheism, through ignoring God, through other means. And yet, when Jesus decides to break out, there is nothing that can stand in the way. Because we serve a risen Christ, and there is no power, there is no force, there is nothing, there is no philosophy, there is nothing that in any way, when Christ decides to break out or break into your life, that will prevent him. I talk about a reunion. I'm going to pass that over. I talk about a distracted age. And several times I jotted things that dealt with distractions. And let me give you a word picture that helps me to illustrate and understand this a little. On Saturday, October the 20th, I titled this Texting or Cuddling. I was reflecting back to Thursday afternoon, just before. Went to the Italian Center, and I do that. That's sort of my habit. One of the secrets of a happy and healthy marriage is I go out for dinner by myself on Thursday night. That's a terrible thing to say. And I will get shot. I'll get shot for saying it. But in all honesty, I do go out for dinner on Thursday nights by myself. But what I do is Thursdays, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We have a Bible study that meets here. So I typically just stay through and I work a longer day on Thursday. And I pop over to the Italian Center and I have a meal. I come back and I, you know, lead the life group here. We've had wonderful times here. But I was sitting there at the Italian Center. And at a table in front of me, and I'm not overly an eavesdropper, but I couldn't help this one. There was a young mother there and her daughter. And the daughter was probably about 3 years of age. And, you know, precocious and so on, but just sitting there, not saying a whole lot. And what was the mother doing? The mother was on her phone. And she was texting. And I watched this over and over. And this was for a fairly long period of time. I mean, I'm eating my meal, and from start to finish, I mean, that was a number of minutes. This little girl, every so often the mother would look up, give her a little smile. And then the mother would go back to texting. And I just couldn't get over that experience. And no, I didn't say anything. But as I thought of it, I said, it was clear that the mother loved her daughter, was likely a good mother. But what is wrong with us? How can texting be so absorbing that it distracts even a good mother from precious interaction with a child? How can texting be more important than cuddling? But I think that is a picture for me, also of sometimes even in our relationship with God. We can allow our distractions, our agendas, our priorities to ultimately distract us from what is really most important. Let me just wrap up with one or two more. I talk about Canada Day when I preached and I called the message When Feeling Sidelined. A lot of my comments and reflections in 2018 were on the decline of Christian influence in our nation, the decline of the church and the decline of Christian faith and values. And as I was thinking of this, then I also, on October the 15th, you recall we had Cesar Pera who spoke. And he commented, he mentioned his 7-year-old coming home from school confused because his 7-year-old friend, who was a boy last year, has concluded that he's a girl this year. Do you remember that? And this is what I wrote. I consider myself to be a fairly open, even progressive person. And yet, is this not an absurdity? The absurdity is not so much that a biological boy thinks he is a female. It is that the only, in quotes, acceptable response is to support the child's perception. And to do otherwise is to be accused of some great travesty. Is it not the responsibility of parents, to lovingly guide such a child through this phase? Since when do we consider a 7-year-old developmentally competent to make such a determination? We don't allow minors to vote or to drive. This is not because we're nasty or prejudicial. It is because we recognize where they are developmentally. When it comes to something so critical as a child's identity, doesn't this require more careful counsel? As I wrap this up and give you an opportunity in a few moments, let me just share one. I'm going to call this one is actually God's recipe for loneliness. We live in a very, I talked about distracted world, but we live in a very lonely world. And it's just so ironic to me that in an era when we have more social media that supposedly is to enhance us and make us feel close to people and everything else, that it almost seems to be exacerbating the problem of loneliness in many people's lives. And I was struck by one particular prayer, and I'm going to propose that this prayer, it's almost like a vision statement. And I think it's lovely, and so I'm going to share this. And this is from the devotional reading that I do every morning. Nikki Gumbel's prayer, this is what it says. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to be a loving, peaceful, and faithful community. And note this, where many isolated and lonely people come to know you and find in the community of God's people the answer to loneliness. And wouldn't that be a wonderful prayer? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing for us as a church that more and more people will come to know Christ and to find in him, in the community of God's people, ultimately what meets their needs in all respects, forgiveness, family, and all of that, and finding in the community of the church the solution to loneliness. On a lighter note, one final one. C.S. Lewis, I quote him all the time. He says, as we grow older, we become like old cars. More and more repairs and replacements are necessary. We must look forward to the fine new machines, the latest resurrection model, which are waiting for us, we hope, in the divine garage. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into our hearts the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Amen.